It's On Second Thought. I'm Adam Ragusea in for Celeste Headlee. In Georgia, African-American men make up nearly two-thirds of the prison population. That's many, many times larger than their representation in the population as a whole. Now, the State Department of Corrections is pointing to new data indicating that the jailing of black inmates in Georgia has dropped by 30% over the last 8 years. That is a historic low, they say. But there is still a very large racial imbalance in Georgia prisons. With me now to look behind these numbers is Bill Rankin, reporter for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Welcome back, Bill.
Thanks for having me.
Also with us is James Forman Jr., a professor of law at Yale Law School, and he's the author of the book Locking Up Our Own, Crime and Punishment in Black America. And James, I want to start with you. Let's just begin with the big question. Why are African-American men locked up at such disproportionate rates, not only in Georgia, but nationwide?
Well, starting in the late 1960s, early 1970s, two things happened. We had a rise in crime, but then most importantly, what we had was we had a massive increase in what people call tough-on-crime policies. So mandatory minimum sentencing, aggressive policing and prosecution of drug offenses, eliminating parole, denying people bail. And so at all stages of the criminal justice system, we got tougher, we got harder, we got more punitive. And that was concentrated, not exclusively, but concentrated in African-American communities and African-American men. So that's what's created this devastation.
So we were talking about how this problem persists in Georgia. However, the State Department of Corrections says we are currently in Georgia at a historic low in terms of the incarceration of black males. It's dropped 30% over the last 8 years. Bill, what's behind that change?
Well, also, I think what's notable is that last year, the number of African Americans being sent to state prison was the lowest for any single year in three decades, which is pretty astonishing.
Is that the rate or the overall number?
The overall number.
Wow.
Number of black inmates in a single year was the lowest number for 1 year in 30 years. I cannot say, you know, certainly what's behind it, but we do know three things for sure. And one is that the crime rate has dropped. Second, you have fewer people committing crimes, you have fewer people going to prison. As part of the Georgia's criminal justice reform package a few years ago, the legislature changed the felony threshold for theft crimes. It used to be if you stole $500 worth of goods or forged more than $500 worth of money in a check, you had a felony. But now it's $1,500, which is in keeping with a lot of other states. So that has had a huge impact on the number of people going to prison, as well as, finally, is the enormous expansion of accountability courts across Georgia. Governor Nathan...
Explain what that is.
Accountability court, they treat substance abuse, people with substance abuse, mental illness, veterans who are having problems. These are people who are charged with felonies, and they go to, like, a drug court. It takes about 18 months. Every morning you call to see if you have to do a urine test. You have to have a job. You have to get counseling. You have to show up in court. If you fail a drug test, you're going to go to jail for a few days. But if you complete the course, it takes about 18 months. The state will dismiss the charges. So a lot of these people were going to prison many years ago, and now they're getting counseling and hopefully, returning to society and becoming successful.
Yeah, we talked with Atlantan Matt Cook, who has been arrested 38 times in his life, he told us. He finally broke the cycle by going to one of the new drug accountability courts in Georgia, which provides resources to help keep people like him out of prison. Max says that it has changed his life as well as the lives of others. Let's listen.
You know, that program, it definitely gave me the unseen essential that I needed in my life. And that unseen essential was structure. That was the main ingredient missing from my life, some type of structure. Like I said, during my time in that program, I've seen countless other people make it through, and I also witnessed their life change as well.
We're talking about a significant drop in the incarceration numbers of black men in Georgia over the last few years. However, black men still are being locked up in Georgia at a vastly disproportionate rate, very similar to phenomenon going across the country. Going back to James Forman Jr. at Yale Law School, what do you make of this drop in black male incarceration in Georgia?
Well, it's part of a nationwide trend, and I think the significant thing is it's connected to what Bill said. So these numbers are dropping at the same time as crime is dropping. And this is true in Texas. This is true in New York. It's true in Connecticut. In all of these states, we've had 20 to 30% drops in prison going and also 20 to 30% declines in crime. And the reason why that's so important is that for the longest time, people said if you take some of the steps that Georgia has started to take, then crime is going to go up. And that turns out not to be true, which I think then creates the political climate. It creates the emotional climate in a community and in a state where you can start to then push further and try to create even more progress.
That said, the criminal justice reforms that we've been talking about under the Nathan Deal administration in Georgia are only a few years old. Violent crime in particular has been plummeting nationwide since its peak in the early 90s. Do we know what's behind that broader trend? It can't be criminal justice reform, right?
The criminologists have been debating why crime rose in the 60s and in the late 80s, and they've been debating why crime has declined over the last two decades. And, I mean, if you put 10 criminologists in a room, you're going to get 10 different theories for why it happened. And and most of them will admit it. You know, we really don't know. I can't prove to you that my theory is better than the next person's theory. And it's actually been an international trend. Crime has declined across other countries as well over the last two decades. So it's very, very hard to say. You know, there people theorize about a reduction in amount of lead exposure for young kids. People point to some of the sentencing policies probably deserve some credit, some of the tough on crime policies. I think probably a small amount, but they deserve a little bit of the credit. There's been a huge, at the community level, you've seen over the last two or three decades, lots of people, churches, neighborhood groups, civic associations, NAACP, fraternities and sororities, they've looked at this crisis in the black community, and a lot of neighborhood folks are starting to step up and say, can we create alternative programs for young people in our communities to help divert them from the criminal system? So I think all of these different forces have helped to play a role.
Bill Rankin with the AJC, when the Deal administration started pushing its criminal justice reforms, ratcheting back the tough on crime policies here in Georgia, it was very controversial. A lot of people said that it took a Republican to do that. That's not something a Democrat could have successfully done politically in Georgia. But nonetheless, it was still very controversial. How do lawmakers in Atlanta now view the criminal justice reforms that they've undertaken? And what does that indicate about where they might go with it in the future?
Well, it's been pretty astonishing in Georgia. Georgia kind of followed Texas, was one of the first states to start this, and a Republican state at that, and Georgia, of course, is reliably a red state. The Criminal Justice Reform Council, appointed by Governor Nathan Deal, has had sweeping reforms with the juvenile justice system, with sentencing laws, like I said, accountability courts. And what has been pretty amazing is that I think the first 2 years they passed unanimously in the legislature, and then the next couple of years just with a couple of votes against. So it's been a impressive coalition of both parties to try to get this done. And they're now in their final year. I guess it's going to be up to the next governor to see if they're going to continue this criminal justice reform effort. What they've been doing seems to be paying off. When Governor Deal took office, the projections were that the prison population was going to grow to 60,000 inmates across the state in the state prison system. And to accommodate that, it was going to cost $240 million. That was the estimate. So I think the state decided, well, we can keep spending all this money and locking these people up, or we can try to find ways to divert nonviolent, low-risk offenders, many of whom had been sent to prison, and concentrate on the more violent offenders and lock them up. And I'll just say in the last 10 years, 10 years ago, violent offenders in the prison system accounted for 60% of all the state inmates. Now it's 68% 10 years later. So that's just some of the numbers we're seeing.
Indeed. And as you mentioned, one of the factors behind that has been the growth of drug accountability courts in Georgia, courts that are designed to divert nonviolent and small-time drug offenders into better options than long-term incarceration. We had spoken with Atlantan Matt Cook, someone who'd been arrested many, many times in his life, and says he broke the cycle by getting sent to drug accountability court. Here he is again. He says that most of the arrests that he sees are for small drug possession crimes, including his own.
I got to be honest, right? You know, when I got arrested for selling cocaine to a GBI agent, it wasn't that I was a drug dealer. I was trying to get high myself. So what they say is a sale case, I saw as an opportunity for me to feed my addiction. You know, however, I did make the same, so yes, I was guilty of that. But it wasn't that I was a drug dealer, I was a drug user.
And Mac is exactly the kind of person who might have been sent away to prison for a very long time.
He was
under tough on crime circumstances, and increasingly that's not the case in Georgia for offenders like him. James Forman Jr. with Yale Law School, in the last minute that we have left, what's the next frontier in criminal justice reform? What hasn't yet been done that could be done to reduce mass incarceration nationwide?
Well, I think the first thing is connected to Matt's story. So it's great that he's getting this treatment through these accountability courts, but think how much better it would be if those treatment options were available to people outside of the court system entirely. So we need to build up our community-based network of treatment alternatives so that people who are addicts, like that gentleman was, can go and get that treatment in the first instance before they're ever arrested, before they're processed, right? Because that process itself, even if he goes into an accountability court, ends up having a lot of collateral harm. So I think the next stage is to push more of these programs even further to the front end so people are never arrested in the first instance.
That's James Forman Jr., professor at Yale Law School, author of the book Locking Up Our Own, Crime and Punishment in Black America. We were also speaking to Bill Rankin, reporter for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, talking about a decline in the number of incarcerated black men in Georgia. It's a historic low, according to the State Department of Corrections. Thank you to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.